Well, hi there, and welcome. This is a special mini-episode of Words and Movies, and I'm your co-host, Claude Call.
And I'm your other co-host, Sean Gallagher. So, I've alluded to this a couple times in previous episodes, but Sight and Sound, which is a British film magazine, and one of, if not the longest-running film magazines in the world, since 1952, every decade, they've conducted a poll of critics around the world as to what they think is the best movie ever made. In 1952, the first year they did this, the choice for best film ever made was Bicycle Thieves, directed by Vittorio De Sica. Starting in 1962, and for the next four decades after that, and by the way, this is always done in a year ending in two, but for five polls in a row, 62, 72, 82, 92, and 2002, the choice for best movie ever made by these critics was Citizen Kane, directed and co-written by Orson Welles. And by 2002, even folks who like Citizen Kane, such as myself, or even those who consider it the best movie ever made, were saying, enough already, we should let someone new have a chance. So in 2012, Vertigo, directed by Alfred Hitchcock, took the top spot. And we are recording this on December 4th, and 3 days before the date that we recorded this, Sight and Sound released their brand new critics poll. And the number one film this time is, and I hope I'm getting this right, Jean Dielman, Vingt-Trois, Quai de Commerce, Mille de Trump Bruxelles. It's 1080 Bruxelles. Mille Quatre-Vingt Bruxelles. And it is, for those of you who have not seen this, a 3-hour, 22-minute drama written and directed by Belgian-French filmmaker Chantal Ackerman, which is basically 3 days in the life of a widowed, singled mother, Jean Dielman, played by Delphine Seyrig, who has been in such movies as Last Year at Marienbad and the movie version of The Day of the Jackal. And as she goes through her various household tasks and raising her teenage son, and on the side, though we never see it happening, living or performing as a prostitute for a single man to come over and sleep in her bedroom when her son is away at school. And the one thing that you can say about Bicycle Thieves and Citizen Kane and Vertigo is that while all three of those films are trying to challenge the viewer, and they're not dumbing it down for the viewer or the mass audience, and all three of these movies are about something, or about a lot of things, actually. You know, Bicycle Thieves is about the desperate lengths that poor people have to go to just to make a living. Citizen Kane, whether or not you believe it's actually about William Randolph Hearst, is, you know, the rise and fall of a businessman, and also about someone who's become everything he swore he never was going to be when he was younger. And Vertigo is about obsession and the unhealthy ways that it can turn. Whereas, you know, whatever those three films are about, all three directors, in addition to challenging their audience, they're also have in the back of their mind the fact that they also have to entertain the audiences. Even Bicycle Thief, which is closer to cinema verite than the other two movies are, because it comes out of the neorealism genre that dominated Italy in the post-war era. It is done in the same spirit as melodramas, you know, that we mentioned Warner Brothers in the 30s and 40s. Even if it's not using the same type of techniques, it is shares similar spirit with that. Whereas Jean Dielman, Ackerman dispenses with all that. She shoots it in a lot of very long takes, and it's repeating. You see the main character repeating the same tasks over and over. And you might be inclined at first to wonder, okay, we get it. Why are we seeing this over and over again? But then you realize what Ackerman is building to when she's showing all of this over and over again. And it builds to a pretty powerful conclusion. So the one thing that this does share with the other three movies is the fact that the conclusion is powerful and makes you want to see the movie again, even despite, in this case, its length, because you want to figure out how the director got there with this conclusion. And so it does share that much with the other three number ones, even if it's done in a very different style. Now, that's one reason why I wanted to do a mini episode about this winner. The other is this, along with the fact that in 2002, after that poll was done, people were saying, it's time for someone else besides Citizen Kane to be considered number one in the poll of greatest movie of all time. There was criticism that was even in about the 2012 poll about who Sight and Sound was getting its polls from as far as the critics go. That film criticism, sadly, is still a profession, or was at the time, a profession dominated by straight white males, even though you'd have people like Pauline Kael and Parker Tyler and Ruby Rich and in later years Lisa Schwartzbaum, that, you know, it's still the and then also Wesley Morris and Elvis Mitchell in 2002, you'd still have a more homogenous group of people. And in 2012, and especially in 2022, apparently an effort was made to be more inclusive about who Sight and Sound was getting their polls from. And the result, one of the results being that Jean Dielman took the top prize. Now, as far as people writing in regular media, for the most part, the reception, at least from what I've read, I should say that, what I've read has been a positive reaction to that poll, even from people who did not participate, like Glenn Kenny, who was formerly the film critic for Premiere Magazine, but now writes for a lot of different places like Decider.com and for RogerEbert.com, as well as an occasional review of the New York Times in the New York Times. And then also Peter Bradshaw, who's, I think, the head critic for The Guardian, or at least one of them. He participated in the poll, from what I understand, and he was enthusiastic about Jean Dielman being the choice as well. The fact that we're getting new voices and new people and new films to recognize as number one, so that people will try to seek out this movie, Jean Dielman, which, by the way, is available on Criterion DVD and is also available to stream on HBO Max and the Criterion channel, and available to rent or buy on Amazon, Apple TV, or Vudu. So as I said, generally speaking, the mainstream media, from what I have read, and again, that's only from what I have read, has been pretty receptive to the choice of Jean Dielman as best film ever made. Social media, another story. You were going to say something before I get to that, Claude.
Well, yeah, just that, you know, I haven't seen this film yet. All right. I get kind of intrigued when I see these lists come out, and I'm like, yeah, what am I missing? What are they finding here? And so this was kind of interesting. So I went to do a little bit of research, and it's funny that you mentioned Glenn Kenny, because one of the things I spotted was Glenn Kenny's article about this movie making the top of the list in Decider.com. And he said he didn't vote in this particular one. Okay. He hasn't voted since the last one. But I think it's interesting that this is the first film by a female director to make the top 10 at all. Which
I'm going to get to in just a moment.
You know, and I know you addressed that partially when you talked about like diversifying the people who are participating in this thing. I think it's also worth noting that this isn't like where they get like 10 people together and do this. They pulled over 1,600 critics, and I presume they're worldwide in this regard to find this. So this is like the world's consensus on this kind of thing. Now what BFI, who runs this thing, did not do yet, and as far as I can tell from the website, that's coming, is they haven't said who participated and who voted for what films. Because there's something about like, you know, that's coming.
That normally comes up like a week or two after they release the results of the poll. So yeah, that's not surprising.
All it says is soon. There were several things mentioned here, like that just really intrigued me, because I do, you know me, I love the films that, like, you know, where it just seems to be like an endless take, where we're just very, very long, you know, bits of film, whether something happens or not, that it's just, you know, these people carrying on in this moment and we're not doing a lot of editing. I love stuff like that. So I am definitely looking forward to, you know, putting aside a few days and watching this film. I'll probably do it during Christmas break, but I'm kind of curious, because I, you know, you look at this one, and then there's the American Film Institute, and they do their top 100 list, and go figure, I've seen many more of those films than I've seen of the British film list. I did a count, and you said you'd seen most of them. I saw 35 of these, 36. I've seen 36 of these films, and you're going to be pleasantly surprised to learn that 35 of them I did not watch for the purpose of this show. So I had already seen them, and so I'm going to give myself a little pat on the back for that much anyway.
So now let's talk about the social media reaction to this. Mm. Wow. On Facebook, I'm a member of movie group that shall remain nameless, but there are some people who have reacted positively to the choice, and there are some people who say, well, they're like me in the fact that they admire the movie more than they like it, but it is an interesting choice. And then there are the bros. The bros who insist that the only reason that this was chosen as best movie is because of quote-unquote woke culture, which, by the way, apparently screenwriter, director Paul Schrader has said that as well. And what I have to say to those folks is pretty much what William Shatner said in that famous Star Trek-related sketch on Saturday Night Live when he hosted in the 80s, get a life, will you people? I mean, really.
Yeah, and that's reasonable. So
Okay, so that's my two cents. As I said, if you have 3 hours and 22 minutes that you're able to block out for yourself, or if you want to do what I do, or I did in this case, which was watch it over a period of a couple nights, Jean Dielman is worth watching, even though I myself would not have chosen it as the best movie of all time either. It is worth it.
All right. Thanks for tuning in for this little mini episode. We'll talk to you soon.
And thank you for indulging me on my rant.